This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And good. And what? Oh, you can't say that now. We're on the air, Ralph.
No, I can't say it.
Fortunately, we caught you there.
Cut me off.
Cut you off just in the nick of time. Good morning. It's Wednesday, March 9th, and time now for the Wednesday Morning Talk Show brought to you by Plummer Funeral Home in Litchfield. I'm Terry Tote alongside everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Ralph Niehaus. Unanimous choice by a vote of one once again.
Yeah, I got one vote.
That's right. The entire precinct has been reported. So.
That's one more than the other guy got. So.
We have a studio full of folks today. State Representative Wayne Rosenthal has joined us this morning. We were able to sneak Wayne in here. County Clerk and Recorder Sandy Lighthizer is in with us today. And Sam the Man Whitlow and his wife Barb are in. We're going to talk about Easter eggs and the big hunt coming up in Hillsboro. But first things first, we got to take care of a little business. Back to chat in 30 seconds.
At Plummer Funeral Home, our reputation stands as a testimony to the quality and fair-minded services we provide. One of the most important services we offer is the opportunity to make final arrangements in advance. There are many important decisions to be made, and no one knows better than you what you really want. Come talk with us and make your wishes known. You'll be surprised just how much better you'll feel. Plummer Funeral Home, the locally owned hometown funeral home, your neighbor and your friend.
Back on the Wednesday Morning Talk Show for this Wednesday, March the 9th. And let's start off with Sam Whitlow and Easter egg hunt time coming up in the Sertoma Club. And Barb, you want to join in on this? Kind of lean together. You two guys can
sure,
go shoulder
can
to shoulder, right? Tell us a little bit about the Easter egg hunt and what it's going to be and that sort of thing.
It's going to be at Beckemar School again. We got all the eggs. We just need some donation for the candy to fill them.
Okay.
And we got a basket up at City Hall at Hillsboro if somebody wants to drop off a bag of individual wrap candies. Nothing real too big because they won't fit into little eggs.
Yeah, they're tiny little eggs, so the smaller the better. Jelly beans are okay probably, aren't they?
Yeah,
little package of jelly beans.
Or chocolate eggs or whatever, so.
Okay. I've never figured out how to get that big chicken in that little egg, Sam, let alone a piece of candy.
So, Barb, who puts all this together? Do you guys do this?
Or? Sam and I work together at it. I do a lot of the going out and buying the baskets. And last year we bought all the eggs at a discount price when they was 90% off. So we have like 7,000 eggs in our garage attic. 4,000 of them be on the ground this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like he said, we are asking for some donations of candy. Cash doesn't hurt any. It takes $300 to $500 to get this on the ground like it needs to be. And but suckers and your Smarties, they're too long to fit into the egg. So, you know, stay away from that kind of stuff. But it is going to be the 16th of April, which is a Saturday before Palm Sunday, and it will go at 12 o'clock. If you're 12:01, you're too late because everything's picked up already.
About 20 seconds and it's gone.
Well,
and where is it going to be?
It's going to be at Beckemeyer, on the south side of Beckemeyer.
Okay.
And, you know, honest, it doesn't take those kids 2 minutes to get it picked up. I stand out by the swing set making announcements and stuff, and the police officer comes out and blows his siren, and by the time I can squeeze through the bunch of kids that's coming at me and get behind the basket table, there's already kids up there wanting their basket that they've won.
Sure.
So, I mean, they've actually went out and got their egg and beat me back to the table. And
well, they're professionals, you know.
They are.
Yeah, yeah. Makes all the difference in the world.
And the ground is just spotted with all these colored eggs. And that's all you can see is, you know, eggs. And there's not an egg left when those kids are finished.
Now, do you need some help putting all this together?
Sertoma's is helping us. Okay. They're between me and Barb and Sertoma's. We're putting this on. They'll come out and help us do the eggs. And the Blue Knights out of Belleville come up and help us also. So.
All right. That's April 16th at
April Beckemeyer. 16th, yes.
All right.
And the Sertomas are the ones that sponsors it.
Okay.
So it's the Hillsboro Sertoma Easter Egg Hunt is what it's called.
All right.
They've been gracious enough to they have the liability insurance
sure,
for us.
Some financial backing there to make sure that they
right.
come
and
forward,
if we run low on cash, they will help. But sure. I told them I would do all I could to not put any burden on them.
Donation basket at City Hall.
City Hall.
All right.
They can drop off the candy and the cash if they want to.
Make those checks payable to Sam. Oh, no, I mean
Barb. Actually, make them out to Barbara Sam Whitlow.
And I was kidding there, Sam, but you know.
I pay the bills, yeah. and then I give sure. them the bills and the leftover cash to save for next year.
There
so.
You go. There you go. It's a great service.
It's fun.
Well, and what would the kids do without their Easter egg hunt?
Yeah. And that's just what I thought, too, you know.
Well, a couple years ago, they weren't going to have it, and then you stepped in. And
yeah, we had 2 weeks to get it together yeah. 2 years ago. Yeah.
That's a great service.
I had done it too many years before that, so sure. I knew exactly what to do and how to do it and get it done. So we did it.
Well, keep up the good work, Sam and Barb. We appreciate
all
the help that you give this community of Hillsboro. And they still come to you, Sam, and I know they come to you when something goes wrong. They're going, well, I don't know. Let's go talk to Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Yep. Right.
Even the bicycle race coming up, they already.
There's always that one
talk to Sam.
That's right. So. Yeah. Well, we hope you have a great turnout, and we hope weather's nice that day.
Oh, I hope this dries up a little bit so we're not wading in mud.
Yeah, well, it's not mud you have to worry about.
They
it's not your kids.
Anyway.
You know,
we've had rainy days before, and we still had the same amount of kids.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
sure.
rain's not going to chase them off.
Oh,
but.
Heavens, no. Not for chocolate. Are you kidding me? That's a food of the gods yeah. right there, man. So,
yeah, that's the fun of it all.
Absolutely. Let's turn our attention to Sandy Lighthizer a little bit and the county clerk and recorder. And Sandy, we've got the city elections, I guess, for lack of a better term. I think that's what most people refer to them as. City elections coming up in April.
Right, that's right.
Yeah.
Terry, April 5th, that's a Tuesday. And we want to encourage all voters to get out and exercise their right to vote and participate in our democracy and vote that day. In addition to the municipalities throughout the counties, park districts, library districts, educational service regions, community college districts, school boards. We have one fire protection district, Morrisonville-Palmer. They're electing their officials as well. And this time we have one public question for the newly formed North Mac
yes.
Unit School District 34, a school bond issue question. So, this is a local election, as you said, but still very, very important. These people are decision makers that affect our daily lives. So
and,
we need to vote.
And so much of our decision making and the money of the spending of the tax money and such is done at the local level and at the county level. So it's very important to make sure you have your input into to all of this. So.
Exactly. That's right. Right. And it really comes home to me before each election, we I do an outreach to the local high schools mm-hmm. and to try to, instill that, meaningfulness behind a vote at our local high school. We talk about, hey, this election coming up, folks, as these 18-year-olds are registering to vote, you're going to be voting on folks that certainly affect your lives. Look at the building you sit
sure.
in. In fact, the one class is a government class that I attend and register voters there. The very fact that they're sitting in that classroom is a mandate having been given from their elected school board members. So, just trying to bring it home that this is an important election and we need to turn out for it.
And locally here in Hillsboro and Litchfield, our two closest towns, we're going to be electing quite a few members to the council or alderman, whatever phase of government you have. Plus the fact both of them are going to be electing new mayors this time.
Well, actually, Hillsboro's mayor is up. Hillsboro and Coffeen and Nokomis are commission form of government, so they all are elected at the same time.
Yeah.
Once every 4 years, they're mayors and their commissioners, respectively. And then Litchfield, this time, they do have
alderman
seats up, yeah, for their four wards.
Is there a tricky part of the ballot this year that people need to pay special attention to, Sandy, where they can go in and maybe misunderstand what something has been stated? We have that just every
right.
once in a while, but it looks pretty straightforward this year from what I see, and I see a lot of names on here, which is great.
Yes, we do have some contests, and that's good. There's participation out there. I would say if there's a trickiness to it, it comes down to our school districts. A lot of them are what we call Format 4, where no more than three may be elected, or a certain number less than three from each individual congressional town township. That's how they're formed.
Right.
It's their way to assure equal representation among their district. And the laws that we have on the books in Illinois forces the county clerks to list the instructions on the ballot in a way that, you know, we would encourage voters to really read close on that, because they have to know, you know, how many can be elected from each township and range, which is our congressional township, in advance of then looking down further to the ballot and voting for those in, respective candidates.
Polls will be open the normal time?
Yes, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. That's right. And we are also open for early and absentee voting prior to the election.
And that closes when?
Absentee voting actually closes the day before the election. Yes,
okay.
Monday.
How many precincts will be using electronic means of voting? Will they all have that available now?
Well, we have a system that has electronic capability as well as a paper trail. And we like the fact that we have that type of system. It's called optical scan voting, where the voters actually vote on a paper ballot. They're darkening an oval, feeding that paper ballot into a tabulator, which then tallies the votes electronically. But should we have a close election, and we've had them before in our county,
yes, we have.
We can in a recount setting, hand count those ballots and know the voter's intent fully.
So do we, now with the new electronic form, has this lessened to a degree spoiled ballots?
Yes, somewhat it does.
Only if you follow directions.
Yeah, you've got to follow directions. There's the thing, Ralph, you're right. And this system is not, brand new. Certainly it's been in place since 06.
Yeah.
Yeah, March 06. So we've got our paper ballot that we darken the oval. We have a separate unit that is a marking device that is in each polling place that for voters with special needs. They feed that paper ballot into that unit. It creates a touch screen, which they can then touch the screen, and then after they complete voting, it spits the ballot back out, and those oval sections are darkened by that unit.
Yeah.
Okay, but it still comes down to that paper trail. We don't want to let go of that.
Sure.
Still concerns out there, in my view, and others share that view about fully electronic voting and not really wanting to go there right now.
And all you have to know right now is that your computer crashes every once in a while.
Yep.
Right.
And basically what you would be doing is turning it over to a computer completely.
That's exactly,
and that's not necessarily
we don't trust
idea.
That.
No.
Yeah.
What, not yet.
What about availability, Sandy? And I know there's people that may stay home because they don't feel like they can have the ability to go into the voting booth and vote on their own without assistance. What about what about assistance? If I go to the polls and say, look, I can't do this by myself because of sight or this or that.
Right, sure. The laws allow certainly assistance to be given. There's affidavits that would need to be completed to document who gave the assistance and to what voter, and that signage is important on those affidavits. But either a family member can come in or a friend, to assist the voter, in completing the ballot. Or we have, under Illinois law, allowance of two election judges, one Democrat, one Republican, to accompany that voter into the booth and provide assistance as well.
So folks, don't stay home if you feel you're not capable of casting your ballot, because someone will be there to help you.
Absolutely.
Right, exactly. And, even on that end, we have, an absentee ballot that can be mailed to a voter. That process is available. And we just encourage folks, call us, 217-532-9530 at the county clerk's office. Request an absentee ballot. We'll start by sending an application to you in the mail, return it, and then we'll send you the ballot. Take care of it all there in the comfort of your own home.
User-friendly. That's a great
word,
term,
Terry.
And that is how your office operates, Sandy.
Thank you.
You do a terrific job,
Thank you, and
your staff.
Thanks
so
for your support.
Keep up the good work, kiddo. That's very important. And again, if you have any questions, all you have to do is give your office a call, and they can talk about the specific issues on the ballot and that sort of thing. So.
Exactly. Thank you.
Wayne Rosenthal.
Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, sir. So how's Wayne doing these days now that he's a member of the General Assembly in the state of Illinois?
Well, things get pretty hectic at times, Terry, but we're making progress.
I think one comment you made this morning about somebody was commenting about how you came in smiling every day.
Sure.
And course, we've known each other for a long time, and you've always had a smile on your face and was a very positive person. We need a little bit of that in the General Assembly, don't we, sir?
We need a lot of optimism, and we can fix things if we work together. Yeah. And that's where we're headed.
Tell us about some of the...
Yesterday was a big... I'm on the Ag Conservation Committee, and yesterday all the gun bills go through that committee, and yesterday we talked about Brandon Phelps introduced House Bill 148, which is the concealed carry bill. We probably had an hour, 30, hour and 40 minute debate, both sides, very fair and honest debate. But the result of that was we got out of committee 12-2 for concealed carry, and that'll go to the House floor for second and third reading. So let's go from there.
All right. And I guess you're and everybody in the General Assembly still looking for a solution of sorts to tackle the
budget.
Budget.
Yeah, the
situation.
Budget is still a big issue. You know, the governor put out his budget, and then the House yesterday we passed a resolution where we think revenue will be a little less than what they've said. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the Appropriations Committee throughout the House will put together their budget and, you know, present that to the House, and then we'll forward it on to the Senate and on to the governor.
I guess one thing that I share with people is that, look, it took us a few years to get into this situation. It's going to take us a few years to get out of. It's not an overnight solution. It's not going to happen that way.
Nothing's going to happen overnight. Yeah. But, yeah, you know, as long as we stay focused on trying to fix some of the problems, then I think eventually we'll get there. And that's what we're doing. We got several different working groups looking for areas to cut where we can spread that over everybody, you know, not just target certain areas.
And I think that's what the main thing is if you're going to cut, everybody's going to have to suffer.
Yeah, I mean, because we're pretty in dire straits, as everybody knows. And like you said, we didn't get here overnight. We're not going to get out overnight. But if we can start increasing our revenue stream and then start paying down our debt, then, you know, eventually we'll dig ourselves out of this hole.
Wayne, as a new kid on the block, so to speak, when you first went into session, and now you've been in a little while, do you feel the urge by people up there, or the willingness, I guess I should say, to work together to try to get us out of this hole?
Well, one of the things I really see, Ralph, because we got elected last November, and then we had a new member orientation in the end of November, and we got 23 or 24 new House members, plus we've gotten some since then that have been appointed, but the overall feel that you get working with them is that everybody wants to make the state of Illinois better, and I think that's a positive sign, and it may not happen right now, but eventually we'll get there.
I know we've it's not a very nice term, but the state of Illinois the last couple of years is, with all of the stuff with our ex-governor and what have you, we've kind of become the butt of a lot of cruel jokes in the state of Illinois for what's went on here, you know.
Yeah, I think you're right. And hopefully we can overcome that and, you know, turn things around.
It's kind of like falling off the horse. You just get back up and get on the horse and giddy up and go.
Well, you know, we have a big challenge. You can't stick your head in the sand and ignore it because it won't go away. So what you have to do is you know, it's like any other problem, sit down and figure out how you're going to solve it.
Wayne, one question I've wanted to ask you since you've been a member of the General Assembly, is it everything you thought it was going to be?
It's, it really is, Terry, because, you know, as you know,
I think it would be a great experience to be part of that.
As you know, I spent 30 years in the military, sure. And especially when I was flying airplanes and when I was a squadron commander and the ops officer running the flying operation, you know, you're pretty involved in everything. And this probably gets about as close to that as I've been for the last 20 years. And so I look forward. I enjoy the hectic pace. I enjoy being involved. One of the most satisfying things, though, is when people from the district call and say, hey, can you help? Yeah. And when you call legislative liaison with whatever department up there, and they call back and say, you know, they've done something and they've helped people. And that has nothing to do with party. It just has everything to do with constituents within the area. And to me, that is one of the most satisfying things. And of course, you know, I always that's what I've done, is taking care of people my whole life. And so that's very enjoyable.
Realistically, Wayne, we talk about the size of the deficit. And to you or me as individuals, it's a tremendous amount of money.
Yeah.
But when you turn that around and look at it from the standpoint of government, then that figure doesn't seem so insurmountable.
Right. And the thing is that Illinois still is a rich state. We have a lot of resources. You know, we've got great ag commodities. You know, if we can continue to look at value-added products and expand those markets, put people to work, you know, we got great educational systems here, but we need to be able to bring people and create the jobs here in Illinois. And if we can do that, then we increase our revenue by increasing the revenue base.
Wayne, there has been some talk about school consolidation, and I'm not going to put you on the spot
sure.
here and what you feel, but this is something that's probably going to come about because our neighboring states have gotten involved
yeah.
in this. And I think probably the toughest thing for us to overcome is the loss of a mascot.
Yeah, we talked about especially
that. Especially in our small communities,
sure.
because we're so tied in with our local high schools and our local school districts.
Well, it's part of the social fabric of our community.
That's absolutely.
It all revolves around the school. But
is this getting some serious traction?
Well, to be honest, that was when the governor mentioned it in his budget address, that was the first we'd heard about it. But, you know, realistically, we need to look at all those things. If we can provide better education and provide better services for the kids, and of course, you know, one of the big obstacles for our rural districts is the transportation and how far apart are they going to be and how can we make all that work? But to me, the most important thing is the people that are involved in the districts and in the local areas be involved in the consolidation talks.
Sure.
And I think, you know, we got several of those going on in the area. I know that Panhandle and Morrisonville and Pawnee have got some things going on and, you know, other schools in the area. And, of course, we had North Mac that
sure.
just consolidated last year. So, you know, at least the people are involved. And if the state can come in and, you know, what they've done before is give grants to individual school districts, well, if they're going to do that and they put the grants in the middle and build a school for all of them, it might be cheaper for the state in the long run anyway.
One aspect of your job that we probably don't even touch on or don't even think about, you have a great staff. And there are a lot of smart people that work for you and work for the people that are elected to run the government, and you have some great resources.
Yeah, the House Republican staff and the Democrat staff, they're people up there that are writing the legislation. You give them the ideas, and they're very good at that. And they, you know, they give you the pros and cons of what's going on. Same way with the lobbyists. You know, they're in a lot of cases the subject matter experts, but they have the most information of what's going on. And a good example is, Sheriff Vozzi and Rick Robbins called and said, hey, you know, we got this problem with this drug out here on the streets. Went with the Sheriff's Association, and they provided all the background, and we're going to introduce that bill tomorrow to ban these substances. And they've already been banned in Florida and Louisiana, but I don't have that expertise.
Sure.
And so, you know, it's the lobbyists and the lobby groups that provide that information. And the professional lobbyists will tell you what's good for you, and they'll also tell you who's against it and what's bad for you. And then the big thing is you get to listen to lobbyists from both sides, and you make the decision based on what's best for your area.
So the educational process never stops, does it?
Never stops.
You're always learning new and different things, it seems.
Well, and the big thing is just dealing with people.
Yeah.
That's what the job really comes down to, is you're dealing with people. You know, and it's just like the military. You got a mission objective.
Sure.
You just got to figure out how to accomplish those things.
And you're back to work this afternoon, right?
I'm back to work this morning. I'm going to meet with the FFA kids from Morrisonville about 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then Heather Hampton Nodal will be in about 11:30, and then we're back in session at noon and committees this afternoon.
State Representative Wayne Rosenthal, thank you so much, my friend. We're running out of time. Sandy Lighthizer, the county clerk and recorder. Always a pleasure to see you, Sandy.
Thank you.
And our good friends, Sam and Barb Whitlow. Keep up the good work in Hillsboro, guys. We're out of time, Uncle Ralph.
Are we?
Yes, we are. I guess we'll have to meet again on Sports Insanity on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Okay. 9:05.
We'll spread some rumors of some kind.
We'll spread something, that's for sure.
Well, I call it rumors.
Okay. It's today's program brought to you by the Plummer Funeral Home in Litchfield. Stick around. The man, the myth, the legend. Yes, Earl Sarles on his way next with that opening market report here on AM 1540.